welcome to A Drummer's Guide To, the podcast all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician aside from actually playing your instrument, which we kind of take as a given here, hopefully, fingers crossed, eh? Always something to learn, always something to grow with. So, first things first, I'd like to thank the Patreon supporters. You guys absolutely rock. You are the reason that I get to do this podcast so consistently these days, and I just wanted to thank you for that. I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Like, you will never understand how much it means to me that you would support this in such a way to part ways with your hard-earned money, and I appreciate it so much. So today I'd like to talk about hyperfocus and flow, basically. So I know that I did an episode at the beginning of the year saying called Finding Your Rhythm, I think that's what it was called, which was basically the way that I was conducting my days, where at the beginning of the day I would do like 30 minutes of emails, then I'd do 30 minutes of Instagram messages, then I'd do 30 minutes of playing, then, you know, these little incremental things, basically. And from what I've read, and I knew this before, so that is called task switching. And apparently, task switching can be very tiring. Now, I would like to agree with this statement. Task switching is very, very exhausting for me. I was doing it and it sort of was working, but I found myself feeling very frantic, if that makes sense. And I've mentioned before that actually a way that I naturally am inclined to lean is being very hyper-focused and very single task oriented. And what happens to me when I get in that state, I lose all time. I do go down like rabbit holes and stuff. And I don't know, I get my head down and then I look up and it's been 4 hours and I'm exhausted. That's essentially what happens to me with my hyper-focused moments. However, I sort of was thinking about it and I was thinking, okay, yeah, that is what happens. But when I'm in those states, first of all, I get tons done. I really do. But second of all, I really like being in that state. It's how I'm naturally inclined. You know, I hyper-focus on things. I fixate on things. And I've sort of gone back and forth over the years of ways to tackle my day. And I'm not, obviously I haven't found the right way yet because it's been a month and I've already switched it up from what I said I was doing at the beginning of the year. So, you know, but it's a kind of a constant process. But I was reminded of this from talking to a friend, and basically we were talking about books that have really helped us and that have like our favorite books essentially, and there were two that really stood out, and I just was like, why am I not practicing this is ridiculous. So the first one is a book called, and I think I've mentioned this before, Deep Work by Cal Newport. And the reason that this one came to mind is because I was reading another book that, what's it called? The Power of Less, I think it's called. I think it's The Power of Less. It's basically about minimalism and this idea of single task focusing on things, and it reminded me of this book Deep Work by Cal Newport, which if anyone wants to get into kind of thinking about hyper focusing on stuff and just getting into that state, it's a fantastic book. I think I've read it maybe 3 times over the years, and anyway, it got me thinking about that book and I was like, yeah, that's a whole thing. And it really was talking about single task focusing, which if you've listened to quite a few of my episodes, I am very much about, what I realized is I think I'm about a balance of the two. So there's a time and a place for hyperfocus for me, for sure. But equally, so hyperfocus is all about kind of focusing on one task. It's getting rid of any other distractions. It's going, I'm here, I'm present. This is the one thing that I'm doing at one time. That's it, like nothing else. But equally, you know how there's a yin and a yang to everything, and I'm really learning this. I've really been learning this over the last year or so. the yang to that yin, if you like, is that I also use what I call habit stacking, but it's not that. It's like concurrent activities to trick myself into doing things or to bribe myself into doing things. So things like exercise that I don't necessarily want to do, I will allow myself to listen to a podcast I want to listen to. Or if there's some other thing that I need to do that doesn't require me to think, like not a, like if it's a monotonous task, or, you know, there's something that I don't need to have, it doesn't matter if I have input of information or words into my brain, then I very much use the complete opposite of deep work and single task focusing. I try and stack up lots of different things at once. It's the same as when I do my 30 minutes day practice on the drums. Not only am I practicing, and that is a hyper focused thing, by the way, when I'm doing it, however, I stack it with other benefits so that I am more likely to do it. So I live stream it so that people can be let into the process of what it is to work through things. When you play them, they sound rubbish, or when they come together, or, you know, just general improvisation. And then I sort of like will chat afterwards and have a chat to people and connect with people. So there's an element of accountability there, which makes me more likely to do it. But I've definitely been neglecting my natural love for hyperfocus, because the other thing that happens is I often get into this state of flow. And if you're interested at all in learning about flow, like flow state, as they call it, just when you're kind of, it's really hard to explain, but things just, I don't know, time just goes, time just disappears. That's how I see flow state. It's kind of like you're really in your element, you're in the groove, you know, it's rough if someone knocks you out of it by interrupting you. Well, for me it is, I find it very difficult. But if you're very interested in that kind of thing, there's a book, I've had to write it down in front of me because his name is very, very difficult to pronounce. But anyway, so this book is called Flow, and it's by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. Yep, good luck with that. If you just look up flow book, it will come up straight away. It's a really, really good book. Weirdly, this is a completely pointless thing to remember, but this is the kind of things that my brain remembers. When I first signed up to Audible, for some reason, it was the first book that I listened to on Audible. Don't know why I remember that, but there we go. That's one of my brain cells that's been taken up with that bit of pointless information. But it was very interesting of this concept of flow, how to actively get into a state of flow, or what I'd call hyperfocus. They're kind of one and the same for me. And just, yeah, what that looks like, how to do that. Like, I find that, in fact, I remember as a kid, my dad talking about this, and he didn't call it flow state. I can't actually remember what he called it, but maybe, would he have said that? I was going to say maybe it was in the pocket, but I don't think he knows what that, well, no, I think he knows now what that means, but he was a guitarist. Guitarists that, like, anyway, I won't go into it, but I don't know, it wasn't that, it was something else that he used, some other, like, term. But he used to always talk about, you know, when you're kind of at a good place with your playing, because when you get on stage and you're playing with musicians, you can get into that, what I would now call flow state. And he's right, there was a point where it was like, oh, I get it. It's this kind of being present and really just, there's a flow between the different people on the stage. And not to say that every time you jump on stage, it happens like that. It absolutely doesn't. However, when it does happen, you're like, oh, yeah, this is the one, this is working, this is awesome. And I think the more that you go through life, the quicker and easier it is to get into those states. But anyway, I kind of was reflecting on this whole hyperfocus flow state. And whereas before I was trying to avoid it, and the only reason, because I love it. So the only reason that I was avoiding it was because of how much it depletes my energy levels. Because, like, I think you know this about me by now, unless this is your first episode, in which case, hello, welcome, I'm Emily, I'm a bit all over the shop, I'm a bit weird, and I have many lovely people that listen to this podcast, and we talk about what I consider fun things. so, yeah, anyway, what I noticed was it really, really, it drained my energy levels to a point that it was like, I just can't do much more during a day, and I like doing stuff. I like getting stuff done. But actually, what I think I read something, and I think it sort of knocked me into like, oh, that's a really good point. And it was something along the lines of, like, you have to remember to also, like, for all the, these people that like to cram their days in, whatever, which of I am one, it said something along the lines of, make sure that part of your plan for the day is to rest. Rest isn't a reward, it should be part of your everyday practice. And I just thought that was, that really hit home for me, because I treat rest as a reward and not as a basic human right. Basic human need. Maybe not right. Right isn't the right word. No. Need. It's a basic human need, is to rest, as many things are. And I just, it sounds ridiculous. I've been on this planet for 36 years and I've never thought of rest as something that is, it's not that it wasn't needed. I'm not an idiot. I know that we all need to sleep and do all that. But honestly, I'll be honest, I'm still doing it. I still do use rest as a reward versus that should be part of my day. In fact, should isn't even strong enough a word. I don't actually like the word should. I don't like the pressure that we all put on ourselves, myself included. But it's a need. It is. It is a human need to rest. It's not a reward. It's not a... well, it is a luxury sometimes, depending on your situation. But it's a need. Your body, as a human, you need to rest. Sorry, I'm kind of talking to myself and getting annoyed at myself right now. And anyway, the whole point of this is that I kind of flipped it on its head and I thought, well, I know that I do some of my best work when I'm hyper-focused and when I'm in that flow state, when I'm single-focusing, you know, and this can be from anywhere from an hour. It's never going to be an hour, let's face it. It's more like it's going to be 2, 3, 4 hours. 4 hours is probably more likely, where you suddenly look up and go, oh my God, I haven't eaten. I haven't eaten. I need to actually function. But yeah, I realized that, look, it's okay to be depleted of energy. If it means you're getting a lot of work done, and if it means that you're definitely giving yourself not the gift of rest, the need of rest. Like, not as a reward, not because you've done all that work, but because it's part of your day. It's just, it's another thing off the list. And as I say, when I was doing this task switching, doing these 30 minutes, it was probably depleting me in the same way. And yes, I was getting a lot done, but it wasn't as fulfilling. And I was talking about doing the mundane things first, because I find them the most difficult, right? And not, so mundane to me is the action of answering emails and messages. And it's not to say that the actual answering of the emails or the messages is mundane, because it's not. It's fascinating. I love connecting with people more than most things in this world. But I always found it really tough. So I was doing it and I was tricking my brain into doing it first thing. But the problem that I was finding was that let's say I had a big task to do in any given day, I would need to be in hyper focus. Like, it would take a lot of effort to start the thing, and then I would need to be in hyper focus to get it done. I would start my day knowing that in order to even get to that task, I would first have to get through all these other little tasks that needed to be done, but it was quite overwhelming, and often I wouldn't get to that hyper focus place because I just didn't have the energy left in me. So anyway, I've completely switched it on its head. I've totally gone the absolute 180 on the Finding Your Rhythm episode, and now I'm doing it the other way around. And let me tell you, it's not working as well either in the respect of doing the mundane tasks, because I'm still not quite good at that. But I'm learning. I'm trying to get there. But the prioritizing my ability to, my enjoyment of, my natural inclination towards hyper-focusing has gotten so much more done for me in my day-to-day life. I feel more fulfilled every day. I know that I've got a big chunk of, there's a lot of stuff going on at the moment. There's a lot of moving parts, and like even today, right? This podcast is my my hyper focus for the day. So for the morning, basically I just get up, I have breakfast and a coffee, and then I go into my flow state. Like, that is what I'm doing, and I'm loving it. It feels more sustainable. Yes, I'm tired, but in a different kind of way, because I sort of hit lunchtime after I've done my 3 or 4 hours whatever of just going da 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 da, which I love, and then I take half an hour, maybe an hour if I'm being really kind to myself. And then the afternoon is a little more slower paced, and I do get sort of bits done. I'm not getting it done to the degree that I was before. Again, this is a normal thing. I apologize if you are waiting for a message back from me. I will get round to it. It's just, I'm trying to work out the optimum way of doing it without ruining myself. But yeah, this idea of like actively putting rest in as part of my day is kind of interesting as well. But I really do think that this hyper-focus thing is where it's at. And again, this retrospective looking at different times in my life, and I certainly have had the most productive times, the times where I've put in work that's really moved the needle, as I always put it, towards where I want to be, they seem to have coincided with those hyper-focus moments. Of course, it could be a confirmation bias. Like, let's talk about that. So that's when you believe something and then you see things or you find things to support that argument. It could well be that. It could be, and maybe in a month's time, I will go 180 again and I'll go, so I found that when I retrospectively look at my life, actually the task switching is the best way of doing things. You know, it's more than likely that I'm going to do that because that's how my brain is. But I think there's benefit in questioning it. Also, I think there's benefit in changing it up and being flexible enough to change it up. And maybe that's it for me. Maybe it's kind of 1 month one thing, 1 month another, and just noticing that. I'm not sure, but if you wanted to delve further into that hyper-focus kind of thing, if that works better for your personality, I'd highly, highly, highly recommend Cal Newport's book, Deep Work. And also, I'm going to have to read it again. Hold on. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi's book, Flow. I really was like, I need to make sure that I say this name correctly. By the way, it's not spelt any which way like it sounds at all. That's why I say just look up Flow book and it will come up and you will see the name and you'll go, oh, I see. I think he's Polish, I think. I'm not certain about that. Phenomenal book though, really, really interesting. So the only other things that I kind of have to say on the matter is kind of this awareness of what being in a hyper-focused state of flow is for me, and the kind of the pitfalls that I have to be aware of, in the same way with the task switching thing. So I found out, or probably re-found out, that when I'm task switching, it means that when I go to do my hyper-focused stuff, I don't have the energy to do it. I've expelled a lot of energy by focusing on one thing, then focusing on another thing, then focusing on another thing. And of course, that's the sketch, and I've read about that, and I found that out before, and I found that out again, and so the level of exhaustion is different, but it doesn't leave room for these big projects that I need to get done, or that I'd like to get done also. That, you know, it's not all just I must or I would like to. It's kind of a combination of the both. But things like, for instance, this podcast, I don't know whether you noticed, but I have missed, I think it's 3 weeks, not 3 weeks in a row, like periodically over the last few months. That doesn't make me feel okay. I like being consistent when it comes to offering up information, support, accountability, however you want to see it. It's the same with my mentoring clients. There's an element of consistency and responsibility that I feel to be there, to, you know, be a consistent person in your life. And I'm putting that on myself, absolutely 100%, but it's because it's important to me with other people. And, you know, people like my drum teacher, Mike Dolbear, he has been a consistent presence in my life, as in that sort of teacher role, in that mentor role. He is like a counselor to me a lot of the time. And that responsibility, and that, it's just not lost on me how important that's been to me and how much I respect that, and I would want to pay that forward. It's the same with therapy. You know, I have every 2 weeks at the moment, I'm having talking therapy. Now, if my therapist was like, nah, sorry, not around for the next month, I'd be like, what? Excuse me? Like, that's not ideal. I need the consistency, please. I need to check in with you because I'm struggling. I feel like, do you know what? I would like to apologize, actually. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to apologize for my slight inconsistency. But right now, this is my hyper-focus for the day. And the other great thing about hyper-focusing is that, personally, I like to batch tasks. So I used to do this. Like, when I first started this podcast, what I would do is on a Monday, I would batch recording episodes. So I would record like 4 episodes in a day. Now, it worked really well, but it did really deplete me. But that's because I think then I was trying to do all the other things as well, as opposed to just going, right, you're going to be knackered after this. Make sure that you rest. I wasn't resting at all. I had a really unhealthy work-life balance. I still do to a degree. I'm getting better. I'm getting much better, actually. I've got to give myself credit on that front. I'm trying to be really aware of that. So I've gone back to this kind of batching of episodes. I did 3 episodes, I think, last Monday, and it felt good. It felt good to know that I'm kind of on the ball. I'm ahead. I always like feeling like I'm ahead in terms of content. The reason being that, you know, we all don't know what's going to happen in life. Geez, in the last year, that is for sure what I have learned. Like, things can change. People can, you know, things can change. Let's just say that things can change very quickly. So I like knowing that I'm a couple of weeks ahead, and therefore if things happen that are out of my control or unexpected and I can't get around to doing an episode 1 week, I'm okay. I'm still being consistent with you, because that is really, really important to me. It's really important to me. So for me, I think, yeah, the hyper-focus thing, it really, really works. And again, there's always pitfalls with it. Like I say, for me, exhaustion is the biggest one, like absolutely 100%. I know that about myself. So I am in the process of making sure that I still rest. So for instance, after I record this or these episodes, I might do more than one because I'm batching. You know, I will take an hour before I have, like, do other stuff. And maybe I'll take the rest of the day. Maybe I'll allow myself that. I do need to reply to some messages though. But anyway, the other pitfall that I have is that I often, when I'm in hyperfocus, I go down rabbit holes, but not necessarily in a good way. Like, sometimes it's great when I'm kind of very aware of what the goal is for my hyperfocus session, if you like. I'm kind of okay. But sometimes I go off on these tangents and I hyperfixate on these tiny, tiny details of something that literally have, like, in terms of relevance to the overall task, maybe 0.0001%. I'm talking things like when I'm doing a hyperfocus session on my website, it's things like changing the colors of the website. Or like, but not even like overall, like literally of one button, and I want it to have a very specific functionality and I can't work out how to do it, and I'm doing all these mad searches and I'm going down rabbit holes, and they are deep rabbit holes. But sometimes I have to pull myself back up and just go, all right, what is the actual goal here? Is this actually going to change the result that much that you're spending 3 hours trying to find the HTML, the CSS, whatever it is, JavaScript, to try and make this happen? Like, is this worth the time? And often, like, I find myself going, no, this is ridiculous. Get on with the main task. But I think it's kind of a diversion tactic for me when I'm like, maybe I'm slightly overwhelmed or whatnot. So I don't really know. But so I just have to catch myself. I think I have to go in with a very purposeful goal. And then it kind of like negates that problem a little bit. Not always. And sometimes you just got to cut yourself some slack. I'm talking to myself here. Sometimes I need to cut myself some slack and just go, okay, you went down that rabbit hole. Now you know about one tiny bit of coding that you didn't know before. Congratulations. Let's move on. Let's actually get the job done. So yeah, I have to be aware of that for me. It's because I really enjoy it as well. I enjoy learning and growing and doing all that. So yeah. And then another pitfall for me, obviously, is just doing all the other stuff after I've done my hyperfocus session. Again, it links into the being tired thing. Like, I'm trying to put it so that my afternoons are about doing all the other stuff, like the replying to messages and all of that. I haven't fit it into my schedule in a way that seems to be sustainable yet, but I'm getting there. Like I say, I think there needs to be an element of rest involved. And then also things like, you know, actual self-care stuff, like exercise and stuff. At the moment, I'm a little bit injured from my boxing. My shoulder is, it's better. In fact, it's loads better. But it means I haven't been able to box for 2 weeks, which is really disappointing. And so my fitness has definitely suffered a little bit. We'll see how badly when I go to my next class, which will be tomorrow. I went last week and it was not great. Like, the fitness was fine, but my arm wasn't happy. But I think it's much better now, fingers crossed. Yes, my instructor is looking after me and my arm better than I am, arguably, when I'm in that class. But anyway, thank goodness for Tiger Balm, that's all I can say. As I say, I think this is an interesting subject to kind of cover, mainly because if you find yourself working well in a hyper-focused state, and I'm sure that this is some sort of, I'm sure this is some sort of byproduct of, I'm convinced that I am either on the autism scale slightly or have ADHD, or I don't know, nothing diagnosed, pure self-diagnosis, which I'm sure we all do, especially when you're on social media and you see people going, oh, so I just got diagnosed with this, and you go, oh my god, I have that too, that's interesting, maybe I have that, who knows. But yeah, maybe it's a byproduct of that I really hyperfocus well. But I just thought, if someone else feels that way inclined to, I don't know, I think I'm just trying to say, like, notice the things that you enjoy. Notice the states that you enjoy being in. I don't think I know anyone that doesn't enjoy being in a flow state and hyper-focused state. There are always downsides to everything in life. There are always upsides, there are always downsides. I think it's good to acknowledge both and try to not minimize the downsides, that's not the right word, but like, make allowances for the downsides. Don't ignore them. That's what I used to do, still do to a degree. Would not recommend that, absolutely would not. So acknowledge them, make room for those downsides, and make, what would the right word be? Like, put plans in place to acknowledge them. For instance, rest for me, which again, rest has a downside for me, because resting is good. I'm actually not very good at it. I don't actually know how to do it very well. I'm working on it, but with that comes guilt. So that's the downside for me. I have to rationalize my feelings of guilt of resting. Because I don't think I deserve rest, or I haven't worked hard enough to rest, or, you know, like, you know, other people don't get to rest because they don't have that choice. You know, there's that guilt that comes with it, but that's something I'm working on. So I haven't found that answer yet either. That's rough for me. That has been an ongoing problem for the whole of my life. Guilt and not feeling good enough, just generally in life. It's really fun. But anyway, I do actively work like with those thoughts and kind of trying to debunk my own thoughts in a very respectful way. But anyway, like I say, if you've enjoyed this ramble about hyperfocus, if you want to delve further into it, and even I find, right, I don't know if you find this, I find that even if I read a book, again, maybe this is confirmation bias. This is exactly confirmation bias, which is, even if I'm reading a book that I am aware of the concept, I'm already putting it into place, sometimes it's really nice to read a book that is confirming how your experience in things. I think, actually, weirdly, I think that's what this podcast does for a lot of people. It sort of confirms other people's experiences too, and then they're just going, oh, I'm not the only one that's feeling like this. And I think it's important to have that. I also think it's important to have the opposite of that and challenge any beliefs and whatnot, because otherwise you end up in an echo chamber, and that's why we've become very polarized as a human race at the moment, which breaks my heart so often and makes it harder to communicate with people with different views. But anyway, that's another subject for another time that I probably will never go into, because I don't have enough knowledge. I just know that I want everyone to be able to connect in some way. That's all I definitely know for sure. Anyway, yeah, if you're interested in delving down that more and you want to go read a couple of books about it, then yeah, Deep Work by Cal Newport, and then Flow by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. I'm so grateful for myself that I have literally written down the name in front of me. Well done, Emily. Oh, don't do it with that, because your shoulder still hurts, but well done, Emily. Anyway, I'm going to love you and leave you now. I hope that you're having a lovely day wherever you are, whatever you're up to. And yes, I'm going to record another episode because I feel like I'm in flow state. I know, it's mad that me rambling like this is actually flow state to me. I know, how mad is that? But I like it. I enjoy it. So I'm going to go and have another chat for probably another, how long has this been? I don't even know. 31 minutes, excellent. So I'm going to go and do another episode. Who knows what it's going to be about? I actually do, but I'm not going to tell you. And you're going to find out next week. But, or next time. I always say next time because I'm so fearful that I won't get one out next week. But actually, no, I know. Next time. Anyway, welcome to my brain that goes down tangents. It's been lovely having you here. If you enjoyed this, or if you were entertained by it or anything like that, and you'd like to, follow along or share whatever, please feel free to like, share and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on any good podcasting platform, then please do leave a review. It really helps to get the word out about this podcast, and hopefully to help some more people, if only to feel a little more connected and to go, wow, this lady is just, what is she on? She's on the hyperfocus train. And then if you would like to join the wonderful Patreon subscribers, for which I'm eternally grateful, you can now support this podcast at patreon.com/EmilyDrums. That's patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And if you want to find out any of the other mad things that I do in terms of work, that's recording, that's mentoring, that's, I've got free drum stems that I've got up there, I'll let you do the exploring, the rabbit hole. If you want to go down a rabbit hole of me, then go to emilydrums.com, basically. Anyway, I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna leave you, and I will see you next time. All right, sending you lots and lots of love, and I'll speak to you soon. All right, mwah, bye.